This is IPO Charlotte, a continuing series from WFAE News. The moving vans continue to roll into Charlotte as newcomers boost the region's population. But why are they coming? Over the next few weeks, our series will explore Charlotte's popularity as a destination for several groups of new residents. Since the early 1980s, much of Charlotte's growth has been tied to the city's emergence as a major banking center. Consider the 35,000 jobs the banking industry has brought to Charlotte over the past 25 years. The influx of bankers has changed Charlotte, and the city they now call home has impacted them too. WFAE's Scott Graff has this week's segment of IPO Charlotte.
To really tell this story, it's important to understand how Charlotte became a big banking hub in the first place. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, cotton grown in the region's fields was brought to the city and sold. That led to the development of lucrative textile mills. The first banks were opened as a result, and a foundation for the future was laid. Now, fast forward to the early 1980s.
1982, Hugh McCall leads a group from what was then Nations Bank that buys the first interstate bank, and it's the beginning of interstate banking in the United States.
That's Dr. Tom Hanchett, historian at the Levine Museum of the New South. McCall's vision would later turn the city into the second largest banking center in the entire U.S., behind only New York City. As the director of UNC Charlotte's Urban Institute for 20 years, Bill McCoy watched on as the banking industry began to reshape the city.
Particularly in the 1990s, the two or three big banks, recruited investment bankers, capital market people to work in these banks from New York.
McCoy says the effects of the New York to Charlotte migration became evident almost immediately.
These people came here, made a lot of money, really built a fire under the real estate business. They're the ones that were buying the million-dollar condos.
Fast forward again to present-day Charlotte.
This is supposed to look like.
We're at Pallone's Pizza, a brand-new business in a Ballantyne-area shopping center. Owner and New York transplant Frank Mento drops off a large cheese pizza for his three buddies. Jim Clare, Dominic Stege, and Greg Jones each moved to Charlotte in the mid-1990s to work in the city's blossoming financial sector.
Oh, this is good. This is damn good.
Each of the three lives in or near picturesque Ballantyne, a part of the city that didn't exist back in 1982 when McCall was forever changing the U.S. banking industry. Stege and Clare are natives of New York City. Jones moved to Charlotte from Philadelphia. He still remembers what he told his family when they wanted to know why in the world he'd be moving to Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm tired of Charlotte stuff. I'm tired of dealing with surly, unhappy people on a day-to-day basis. It's a little bit of an attitude up north, you know?
Instead of that attitude, the three now rave about Charlotte's laid-back lifestyle, not to mention its real estate and tax values, its weather, and what they call relatively easy commutes. None have any plans of leaving. John Shelton Reed, a retired UNC Chapel Hill sociology professor, says it's not surprising that Northerners have an easy time fitting in the city.
Most people are actually struck by Southern manners, you know, that people are more polite, at least superficially, than they're accustomed to.
Stege says it took him about a year to shake his New York attitude. Charlotte's slower way of life took some getting used to. One example, he says, were the people who would say good morning and not want anything from him. Enjoying a slice of his favorite cheese pizza, Stege says Charlotte offers small-town niceties like that every day.
Even if I'm at the grocery store and the checkout lady says to the person in front of me, how are you today? And there's a little banter or conversation going on, and it takes maybe a few minutes because she's being polite. I don't have a problem with that. I actually like that.
While Stege, Clare, and Jones all say they've been changed by their move to Charlotte, the city has also been changed because of their arrival. Bill McCoy says new people bring with them new ways of thinking.
They bring attitudes about what their education system ought to be, attitudes about the kind of government services they think they should have, and most of those are very progressive.
McCoy says demands for better performance out of Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools coincided with the arrival of the white-collar Northeasterner. He also says the influx has helped produce an effort to improve and diversify arts in the city.
They expect arts and entertainment and other cultural things to be available to them. They probably are very supportive of our art scene and of what's going on in downtown Charlotte, both in arts development and entertainment development.
The massive migration has also produced some problems, like overcrowding in schools and on area roads. But Jones, the transplant from Philadelphia, says he's more than willing to help pay higher taxes to fix the problems that newcomers like him have helped create.
Taxes have to go up. They have to go up because we got to support the infrastructure. We got to build the roads.
One thing Jones and the New Yorkers haven't done in their dozen or so years in Charlotte is join the social circles of the city's natives. Jim Clare.
I don't know any charlatans. Very few. You know, you might work with them. You don't live with them. They don't invite you to their clubs. You know, you're not going to get into Charlotte Country Club if you're not an original charlatan.
So instead, they meet at places like Pallone's Pizza. A bar next door also serves as a neighborhood hangout. And finding other Northeasterners to spend time with is not a problem. And that begs the question, with so many people who were born elsewhere now living in Charlotte, is it still a southern city? John Shelton Reed, the retired sociology professor, says he's not sure.
It's quite possible that there will be parts of the South that aren't meaningfully considered southern.
An estimated 500 people move to the Charlotte area every day. Hanchett, the historian at Levine Museum of the New South, says that influx continues to change and shape the city, but he still doesn't think Charlotte's southernness is being lost.
I don't think we're losing the old stuff as much as we're gaining a new layer. It's like archaeology. The old stuff is still there. It still shapes the lay of the land. We're just adding a new layer to it.
For WFAE News, I'm Scott Graff.
Northeasterners aren't the only ones flocking to Charlotte these days. Many African Americans from across the country are moving south, and Charlotte is one of the hot spots.
When I think about the Confederate flag being still flown in South Carolina, and, you know, my thought was it would not be welcoming for me as a African American woman.
Listen next week at this time as we continue our series, IPO Charlotte. You can also hear these special reports and comment on the series online at WFAE.org.